Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Hey, and use my free promo code B like big, F like foot, P like pro, W like wrestling, F R E E as in free, B F P W F R E E. Check out all they said. You can also watch ECCW, DOA, and a whole lot of more. Hey yo, this is the L-Train, and thank you for once again tuning in to the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast. I appreciate each and every one of you tuning in each and every week, and I love you, man. Hey man, chilling here. It's Monday night as I do this opening. Horrific Sunday watching the Seattle Seahawks. How terrible was it, that loss to the Los Angeles Rams? Might be the first time all season the Seahawks didn't even show up, and it was pathetic, it was terrible, it was embarrassing. And now I even feel bad for cheering for the 49ers earlier in the day. I don't know what your thoughts on that were. Saints 49ers, we needed the Saints to lose, get that top seed if we win, but then we lose and now we're behind the 49ers, but we have the tiebreaker and a game coming against them, the last game of the season, and I hope they flex that game to Sunday night. That would be freaking incredible. So I'm still recovering from that yesterday. Had some friends over, my good friend Jeff and his girl Lori and their son Cole, and of course Kim and Nick were here. We had some munchies, just chilled the day out, you know. Real funny quick story, I texted Jeff. He's like, what time are you going to pick me up? Because Lori was coming from work. They got one car, you know. Someone's working. So I was like, yeah, I can come pick you up, man. And I was like, yeah, I'll be over around 12. Thought the game, for some reason, was at like 1 or 120. I don't know if that was the original plan, if it was flexed, or if I'm just stupid, which is most likely the case. But went and picked him up, and, you know, I'd hit the store on the way there, got us, you know, all kinds of stuff. We had food and, you know, some brews and some wine and all kinds of great stuff to enjoy a few hours of some football. And then we get to almost near my house, and my friend goes, I can't believe, I don't know that, I didn't realize the game was at 5 o'clock or 5:20. And I'm looked at him, I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, the game's the Sunday night game. So I didn't know that. So we hung out a little bit longer, but we had a great time and watched, what was it? The Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots, and the Chiefs took out the Patriots, which is always a great, great thing. Anyway, enough about football, man. And I'm still recovering from Sunday. I'm also still recovering from the week before of the incredible wrestling weekend. It started, I didn't go to it, but I watched some of it on the Twitch, if you will. 3-2-1 battle on that Friday night. Effie versus Eddie Van Glam in that main event. I heard there was a pool of Jell-O. Haven't watched the end of that show yet. And then Saturday was a big, big day. Mrs. Clams and myself jumped in the vehicle, headed out to Everett. We had to hit Funko, had to drop off bought a Funko a few weeks ago, or just the week before, actually. Went out there to Everett. It wasn't a wrestling show, just me, my wife, niece, nephew, my son. And we got him a Funko. I don't remember which one it was, because I can't remember the 3 billion Funkos they have and the names of all the characters and cartoons and everything. But anyway, he got it back home last weekend. There was the arm was broken on it or something. So we ended up taking it back before the Without a Cause show. So we did that, came on down to the show, just had an incredible time there. just 3 hours of some amazing wrestling, and then jumped in the vehicle. I might have talked about this real quick on last week's opening. And then Mrs. Clams and myself, excuse me, a.k.a. K.A. Miltimore, the author extraordinaire herself. We jumped in the vehicle and then headed back to Seattle. We went and found a restaurant, some nice Mexican restaurant on Pike or Pine. Can't remember the name of it. Had some great food, jumped back in the vehicle, drove up to Washington Hall, and then sat down and watched a few more hours of wrestling, although we didn't make it to the last two matches. We had to tap out, man. Tapped out just a little early, but another great show, and thanks so much to Jim Perry. Dude, great seats on the stage. Really loved them. And the show was incredible. The wrestling was incredible. The crowd was incredible. We had a bar right behind us, and a great time. And it might be the bar that was right behind us that ended this evening just slightly earlier. I don't know. We'll have to ask Mrs. Clams next time she decides she wants to be on the show. She was going to be on the show this weekend, but she's, you know, got other stuff going on and whatever. But anyway, and then after that, there was another Defy show on Sunday, which I didn't go to. There was also a show down at in Portland, DOA, Harvey's Comedy Club, I believe. And, dude, so much wrestling and so few days, and it was an amazing time to be a wrestling fan in the Pacific Northwest. And I hope to kind of break down the Without a Cause show and the Defy show here at some point with some folks if it works out. If not, we'll get to next month's shows and see how it goes. But anyway, let me just get to this week's show. Stop rambling, stop ranting, just shut the F up. My guest was, or is, the Golden Boy, Travis Williams. He is the current ECCW Canadian Heavyweight Champion. And, dude, we have a great, 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 amazing chat. All things Golden Boy, Travis Williams. Dude, at one point I had to bring up his amazing moonsaults that he does. If you go to the shows, you watch him, you know what I'm talking about. He's about to do that backflip, but then he just drops down on him. Love it. We also talk about comparisons to Justin Bieber. Yeah, there's some people, I think, mistake him for Justin Bieber sometimes when he's in the ring. They think he's about to perform a Justin Bieber song, but it's really just Travis Williams, Golden Boy. It's not Justin Bieber. I think there's a mistaken identity going on. Also talk about taking on Artie for the championship. We get into Defy, WAC, ECC Dub, a lot of the matches that he's had in the last year at those different places. We also talk up some of his opponents, like Andy Dalton. We talk about Jet Knight, Logan Stunt, Young Muscle. Oh, talk about a little, you know, a little gang, a little fashion, if you will, Daddy's Money. But that broke up. And then we talk about, you know, his dream of wrestling, training, mentors, promos, a whole lot of more, man. And he was just a fabulous guest. I hope you enjoy it. Great chat with him. An hour plus time limit draw. Just great time. But anyway, check him out. He's over on Twitter at @ProTWilliams. And that's at @ProTWilliams on Twitter. Just a great, great guest. And dude, can't wait to see what's next in store for the one and only Golden Boy. And dude, you can check out this show and all my shows in the past, all the archives on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play. You can check out this show and a lot of the recent shows. I've recently joined up with the Pro Wrestling Only Network over on SoundCloud. So go over and check that out. Pro Wrestling Only on SoundCloud. And there's a whole bunch of great podcasts over there, including the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast. And you can also hear the show over at BigfootProWrestling.com. You can follow me on Twitter at BFPW Podcast. That's Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast, BFPW Podcast on Twitter. Tune in again next week for another great show. I'll announce sometime this week who the next guest will be. I want to wish everyone a happy holiday season. We're just mere weeks from the Christmas. What? Just a couple weeks, basically. A couple days. So happy holidays, everyone. Whatever you celebrate, good. Let's just have a great one. reach for a nice, great, peaceful 2020. You know, look to bigger, better things, improve everything. That's what I'm looking to do. And, dude, I'm the L Train. I love y'all. Thanks for tuning in. And I am leaving the station. Hey, before we get to this week's show with Travis Williams, we want to thank our amazing sponsor. They've been with us for such a long time now. I love these folks. The folks over at Nacho Mama's Food Truck. NachoMamasSeattle.com. These folks, I say it all the time, they're gourmet nachos. They are the best nachos that you're going to find on this planet. If you can find better nachos, let me know, because I do not believe that you can. But anyway, let me tell you where they're going to be this coming week. Starting on Wednesday, Black Raven Brewing in Redmond from 4 to 8 p.m. Go see them the next night. Thursday, Optimism Brewing in Capitol Hill, 5 to 9 p.m. And then Friday, they're taking the day off. You know, restoring, revamping, reloading the truck. And then Saturday, Chuck's Hop Shop in Greenwood, 5 to 9 p.m. And then Sunday, Ridgecrest Public House in Shoreline, 5 to 8 p.m. By the way, all those times are p.m. start times, too. Don't be showing up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. It's 4, 5 p.m. until the 8 p.m. or the 9 p.m. Get your p.m.s, get your a.p.m.s right, okay? Just do that. And let me tell you about the specials. And if the specials ain't enough, just check over their website, NachoMamasSeattle.com. You can see the entire menu. Whatever else they're serving up, you will see it on that damn website right over there. NachoMamasSeattle.com. This week, specials. Little Mama's Ranch Burger Nachos. Cheddar cheese sauce. Ground beef with bacon. Oh, my God. Mama's Little Peppers. Zesty Ranch Arugula. Arugula. That would be arugula. And some tomatoes on it. Maybe you want a little soup. Maybe you want it a little spicy. Maybe you want some chicken in it. Get the black bean soup with spicy chicken. Topped with sour cream, sweet peppers, pickled red onions, and cilantro. You hear me talk about those pickled red onions. That is a Nacho Mama staple. They're amazing. And then you bust out, you pull that sweet tooth. Just grab it, pull it out of your mouth, and walk up to the counter and say, I would like a dark chocolate brownie with white chocolate chip and Grand Marnier soaked cranberries. And they'll hand it over to you. Actually, they won't hand it to you right there. They'll say, go have a seat after you pay for it. And then they will bring it to you on a tray and serve it up to you, like I always say, hot and fresh. You want to follow these folks? Like I said, NachoMamasSeattle.com. You want to get up on the social media and follow these folks? You got to go over to Twitter and follow them at NachoMamasSCA. Go over to Facebook and Instagram, NachoMamasSeattle. Hashtag nachos and beer. Thank you, thank you, thank you to our sponsors. Nacho Mamas, baby.
So sick.
The L Train, another great show for you this week. The one, the only, the current ECCW Canadian heavyweight champion, the Golden Boy, Travis Williams, man. Travis, how you doing tonight, man?
Hey, man, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you're welcome, man. I've been wanting to have you on for a little while. You know, it's I send so many messages out. I finally got around to send one to you, and you were so quick to get back to me, and I appreciate that so much. I had to reschedule one time with you, but here we are, man, getting ready for this big drop for you, if I should say, man. But anyway, man, how's things going for you, man? Where are you calling from right now?
Right now, I'm just at my house in Vancouver. Well, a little outside of Vancouver. It's called Surrey. But, it's in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Beautiful area up there in Vancouver, man. It's almost like our, especially when you're here around the Seattle area in Washington, man. The Vancouver area is almost like our brothers and sisters up there.
Yeah, it's very close. Spent a lot of time down in Seattle and stuff, so.
Oh, I bet you do. Seattle, Oregon, all the places down here when you're cruising around for wrestling, man. So, what's going on? Just chilling out tonight? Just relaxing? A night off from the big wrestling stuff?
Yeah, I just got some things done today. Went to the gym, all that. You know, just still relaxing from the big weekend that I had and just trying to heal up.
Dude, just before we get into any wrestling kind of stuff, what do you kind of do in your free time other than wrestling, man? Do you got kind of like a... like a hobby you do? You seem like you're a younger guy. I don't know if you got family and kids and things like that yet. What do you kind of do in your own time?
Well, I don't have a family yet, but I have a girlfriend. My spare time is just working and go to the gym almost every day. And we train for wrestling at the ECCW training school twice to three times a week. Stuff like that. Most of it's pretty much focused around wrestling.
So it's all business, just girlfriend and getting ready for wrestling, man. So, hey, man, let's talk about this last weekend real quick, man. There's a lot of stuff going on here, man. I had to write it down. So you started on Friday night, right, over at the Evolve Gym, the Battle Palace for 3-2-1 Battle, man. And, dude, you took part in their the tournament they got going. Was it the 3-2-1 Go tournament?
Yeah, I believe that's what it's called.
Yeah, let me pull it up here. You are in Block B. You're tied with one of the Hall sisters at four apiece, man. And what happened that night at 3-2-1 Battle? What were you doing? Who'd you wrestle? How'd it go?
Well, I wrestled Softpaws Sarian, I believe he goes by. That was my third match, I believe, in the tournament. First one was Makabe, second one was Elliot Tyler, and then this one was Softpaws. So it was good, man. It was fun. You know, it's cool working with him. His style is, you know, it's a little bit different than what I'm used to. It's more on like the comedy style side of things. So it's nice to get out of my comfort zone and wrestle that kind of style.
How's that work, man, when you come into a match and someone maybe works a little different style, whether it's, you know, what you were just talking about, a comedy style or a lucha style or something like that? Do you kind of go over it before, you know, you go out there? Or is this kind of like, you know, we'll just see what happens?
We just talk a bit without killing the business too much, you know. We just talk, we throw things back and forth, you know. It's whatever, you know, it's input from both parties, so it's not often not it's not just like one person being like, all right, this is it. So it's nice to collaborate a bunch, and I kind of, you know, share what I like to do, share what he likes to do, you know, and we went out there and made it work.
And how often have you worked for 3-2-1 Battle? Is that usual for you? Is that kind of a new thing? I think you've been there a few times. I know you've been there in this tournament, but have you been there before this tournament started?
I've been there a couple times. It's pretty off and on. I was there for ECCW had a show against them, so it was ECCW versus 3-2-1 Battle, and they had a show down there in Seattle, and I was there for that when I was a tag team champion at the time. And then I was there for another show. I've done it a couple times, but no, this is like the most consistent I've done so far with 3-2-1.
And what do you think about that 3-2-1 Battle crowd? It's a little bit different atmosphere, man. It's like they call it hashtag weird wrestling, solid steel, man. Your thoughts on them and what they're doing?
Yeah, man, they're awesome. I love performing in front of them. Just like any crowd that's willing to give you that much of their, you know, their voice and their energy, it's always a treat to wrestle in front of people like that. And, you know, as much as they hate me, I mean, I love getting booed and stuff, so it's always a blast.
And let's, before I go any longer, man, that's where I want to really commend you, congratulate you. I love heel work, man. You're a fabulous heel. You know how to work the crowd. You know what just to say, you know, oh, I'm going to high five. Nope, you pull out, you know, and pull away from the person. And, dude, I love that kind of stuff. I've loved it since I've seen you, you know, when you were starting with WAC. I haven't been up to Canada yet, so I haven't seen you at ECCW, but I've seen you at Without a Cause and, of course, Defy recently. And, dude, not to blow smoke up your rear too much, but I love it, man. Your heel work is fabulous.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
Well, what is it about doing the heel kind of stuff that you really love? I mean, is this something you kind of grew up on? I'm going to ask you a little later, you know, what kind of wrestling and stuff you grew up on, but is there something about just being a heel that just really grabs you that that's what you want to do? I gotta do heel stuff, man.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always kind of been what has drawn me to, like, drew me to wrestling was more the, you know, the bad guy side of things. And it's always been something I wanted to do, like, since I was in high school or whatever. And, you know, I wanted to be a wrestler. I always wanted to be the bad guy just from, you know, some inspirations like CM Punk and stuff and his heel work. And, yeah, I don't know. That's, for some whatever reason, that side kind of drew me to wrestling. And that was the goal from day one.
That was the goal from day one. You wanted to be a heel even before you got started?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, that's awesome. And anyway, man, so I got to see you at Without a Cause this last weekend. You and the one and only Logan Stunt teamed up against Young Muscle Man, Nick Wayne, and Jade Man. A phenomenal match. Dude, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you saying that. It was fun, dude. It's cool to work with Logan Stunt and wrestle Nick Wayne and Jaden. Jaden was always someone who was like, before when I was to start training, I saw him wrestling, so he's always someone that was on, you know, the bucket list of people I wanted to wrestle. So working with him, because the first time I worked with him was DOA, I believe, and I mean, we've had like some tag stuff, but I had a singles with him and DOA, and that was cool. Then it was cool to get to do this again, and then that was my first time working Nick Wayne, which definitely bucket list for sure. Love to get a singles with him, and it was cool just being on the same team as Logan because, you know, he's a cool guy. He's been around. He's been wrestling for a while. So, yeah, that's cool. It was cool to get to know him.
Well, your thoughts on Nick Wayne real quick, man. That guy, it seems like the sky's the limit. You know, we all know his age and all that stuff and who his father was. And he is so freaking smooth in the ring. I mean, you all are. But seeing that guy as young as he is, I mean, he looks like $1 million in there, man. He's right on. He's always got the crowd trying to – he's cheering the crowd when he's in tag matches and just great stuff.
Yeah, 100%, man. That guy's he's a star. He's made to be a star, man. He's awesome. He's a workhorse for, like, how old he is. It's insane. It's crazy, you know. I thought I was young when I started, but to see him freaking doing what he's doing at his age, it's insane, dude. It's it's awesome. He's definitely – you know, he's a star in the making.
Well, dude, that was a great night Without a Cause, but if that wasn't good enough, some of us got in our car and we drove back down to Seattle and we hit the Defy show, Wrestle Summit, and it was Team Schaff versus Team Hammerstone, man. And, dude, you were a part of Team Hammerstone, the Cook brothers, Hammerstone, Jarrell Nelson, and yourself, man, taking on, I think it was Schaff, Randy Myers, Rosas, Cody Chun, and your fellow guy from up there, DCC Dub, Judas Icarus. Dude, tell us about this match, how great it was being in there with those guys like Hammerstone and Schaff, and just kind of break this down for us.
Yeah, it was awesome. So it was a big, you know, a big cluster of people in one big match, but it went well, I thought. I really enjoyed it, you know, as long as the crowd enjoyed it. I had fun. It was, it was a lot of people, a lot of different people to work with in there. You know, I've never mixed it up with Cody before, so hopefully we get to do that. Guillermo wrestled, so, and of course Judas, very familiar with Judas Icarus. And, man, it was just cool to be on the same team as Hammerstone and the Cook Bros. Never worked with them, and Jarrell Nelson, man. It was fun. big match, a lot of stuff going on, but yeah, hopefully everyone liked it.
And you guys came out on top after all the stuff that went on this match, man. Team Hammerstone came through and went over.
Yes, sir. Yes, we did.
So how is that, man, working like a five-on-five kind of match, man? Like, you know, is it just chaos? Like, you just tag in and do what you do, jump out with not, obviously, killing the business like we said earlier, man, but break down a five-on-five tag match.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of people, you know. There's a lot of people with a lot of ideas, a lot of people with, like, you know, different move sets, different things they want to get in there. So, yeah, it's, you know, everyone just tries their best to, you know, implement themselves into the match with, you know, as many people as there is. So, I think, and I think we did it pretty successfully. I think everyone kind of got their own, you know, flavor, if you will, in there, and their own character and personality, so...
And if one night wasn't enough, you got to come back the next night. It was it you and El Fantasmo?
Yep.
Taking on Judas and the one and only former Defy heavyweight champion, Artie Spencer.
Yeah, that was a big match, and it's cool. It was really cool just to be in there with everyone from Vancouver, and that was pretty awesome.
Well, tell us about that, man. All your boys from Vancouver jumping in there. You guys are down here in Seattle at, you know, hey, Defy, man. They're like the cream of the crop right now. You know, they're doing great things. They're doing big things, bringing in all kinds of great talent. And, dude, how was that for the four of you being in that match on that kind of stage?
Yeah, man, absolutely. Defy is definitely the place to be. So just to have everyone, you know, from the same place to be in there, it's awesome. Defy's been the goal for a long time, so it's cool to, you know, fulfill that. And, yeah, it's cool staring across from Artemis Spencer, who actually trained me. He was the guy who trained me, along with Nicole Matthews and Tony Baroni. But, yeah, he was one of my head trainers. And Judas Icarus, who I have, you know, been with for a long time. He's from Vancouver Island originally, so he came down to Vancouver, and then that's kind of where we met, and then we became really good friends. So yeah, it's cool to just stare across from that, and then right beside me, look at El Fantasma, who's a New Japan star. You know, he's been all over the UK, and yeah, man, it was a real experience.
Oh man, and it was really hot. Those shows were so hot, and I don't mean like the temperature inside. It was just like the fans were going nuts. Each and every one of the performers, like yourself, the talents were just like given 100% both of those nights. You know, seeing guys like Douglas James and, you know, Atlas, and it was insane, dude, those two nights. And congratulations to you and all your boys that got to come in and do that. I mean, just let's talk about this for a second. A few of you guys
did
double duty on Saturday, right? You, Judas, hey, the 4 minutes of Heat, who made their like debut at Defy, and I'm sure there's someone else I'm forgetting right here right now. Jarrell fought for the Without a Cause Championship, and then later the night was also part of this 5-on-5, man. What is that saying about the Northwest talent, the Canadian talent, the just... You guys are up and coming, man, and being a part of all this good stuff.
Yeah, I think it shows that we're willing to work hard, you know. We're willing to, like, sacrifice our bodies, as people say, for not just one show, but two shows in a day. And, you know, it seems to be pretty common nowadays with so much independent wrestling shows and the scene just growing faster and faster. And it's awesome to be able to even do two shows in one day in the Pacific Northwest. You know, a lot of people I've heard have said, like, that just didn't exist back then, you know. That was never a possibility. So to see that it's just growing and there's so many people that are so hungry, like me and myself, like myself and Judas and, you know, 4 minutes of Heat and everyone. So it's awesome. It's a really good time to be a part of it.
Well, tell us about that, Travis. How is it? How often, first of all, do two shows in a day happen for yourself? And how do you do that, man? You get all, you know, you got to get, you know, stretched out, you get warmed up, you got to match, and then you got to put your clothes back on, drive another, you know, 30, 40 minutes back down to the next place or whatever, and then, you know, kind of do it all again. Is that difficult?
I'd say it's more of a fun experience than it is difficult. Like, you know, obviously it's hard. It's like hard on the body. It's tiring, but you know, it's what we like to do. It's what we love to do. It's what we're after. You know, we're chasing the dream. So I'd say instead it's more of a, you know, it's a fun adventure than it is just a grind.
Is it easy to get the body loosened back up? I mean, you're a young guy. I mean, it's probably easier for you, you know, than maybe, you know, someone that's like 37, 38.
Some days I don't feel like a young guy, but yeah.
Well, you know, how many years you think, I don't know how old you are, but how many years you think being a pro wrestler adds onto your body?
Well, I'm starting to feel the effects pretty quickly here, but yeah, I mean, there's, you know, there's tons of people like Artie's been doing it for a really long time. Almost 15 years, I believe, or over 15 years. So that's insane, you know, and that's just you just need to keep your body healthy, keep your body, whatever treatments you need for it, you know. Stretching is a big thing. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully my body stays along with the ride.
Well, dude, what are you doing to keep your body healthy? As a young fella, I'm sure you can still eat whatever you want, but, you know, are you watching what you eat? Are you sticking to, you know, chicken breasts and rice and, you know, too much? Are you just still hitting the cheeseburgers? And your diet? Also, what are you doing to exercise, my friend?
Chicken and rice is not too far off at all, actually. I watch what I eat for the most part. You know, like, not gonna lie though, Monday had a big pizza after that big the big weekend. You know, had to treat myself. But yeah, usually I'm trying to stay pretty lean. Try to watch what I eat, and I'm at the gym every day. I'm stretching. I'm training. You know, at training we do cardio drills. We do it all. So yeah, as far as that goes, my body, I'm pushing it, but I'm taking care of it also. And yeah, I mean, I'd say I watch what I eat for the most part, but you know, a pizza after a big show is, you know, every once in a while.
Well, after what? 1, 2, 3, 4 big shows basically that weekend. Yeah. You deserved a pizza, man. And I don't know what kind of pizza you eat, but whatever it was, I'm sure you deserved it. And was it a large one, and did you eat the whole thing yourself?
Yes to both of those questions.
All right, kind of put you on the spot there. Never mind, just kidding. Dude, man, so as far as, you know, working out, are you just trying to keep your cardio up? Are you happy with the size you're at? Do you try to keep bulking up each and every day? What's your kind of, you know, what's your ideas towards working out?
I'm trying to gain some size. Yeah, I'm trying to gain some mass, but also I don't want to get, you know, too big. So it's in that in between of trying to gain size, but also stay lean for these shows that I have every weekend. And especially with the amount of like big shows and the amount of shows like per month now, you know, I'm trying to always just trying to stay fit. So yeah, mostly trying to gain some mass, but, we'll see.
Another thing I want to ask you about, man, can't even speak right now. Is when I watch your wrestling, your matches, you know, I love the moonsaults you do, my friend Travis. You get ready, and you just drop it, and then you drop down and go for the pin, man. I love that. I don't know. What's your thoughts on where did that come up, man? Where'd you come up with that?
Oh, yeah. So safe to say I perfected the moonsault, I believe. And, yeah, that just came from, you know, goofing around. I think it was a show where I just did it. I don't know. It just came to me in the middle of the match. And then, just kind of kept it. Same with, you know, I've been playing around with stuff like that. Like, there's the classic that I used to watch back in the PWG days and stuff when, you know, the hit the rope, stop, grab the headlock, stuff like that. I always, you know, always popped me. I always got a kick out of. So I try to create something similar to that, you know, try to spice it up. So, that's where the moonsault came in.
Dude, I love it each and every time, man. You go to do it, and you just drop down, and, like, everyone's, like, pissed because they think you're finally going to do it.
Maybe one day. Down. Maybe one day.
One day. One day, man. Just surprise everyone, right? That'll be your big face turn one day, right? And you actually hit it, and No, never mind. Yeah. I like you then as
I'll
a
be
heel.
I'll be a good guy for then on.
No, don't do it. Don't do it, man. Come on. We need heels. Heels are needed in this world.
It's true.
Well, let me just another thing I was going to ask you about here before I just kind of get into the different wrestling things and stuff. There's a chant that goes sometimes when you wrestle. I heard it the first time at Without a Cause. I even heard a little bit out of Defy this last weekend. Do you think it's fair that they compare you to Justin Bieber?
Oof, yeah, that one stuck around. That one I got the very first match I ever had. My debut match, which was in Abbotsford in Canada, in BC, which is not too far out from here, for ECCW. I got that chant, so it's kind of wild that it's, you know, almost 3 years, 2.5 years later, and we're still there with the Bieber chants. I mean, at least it's, you know, it's at least it's some noise. That's all I can say about it.
First time I heard it was without a cause show. I think even a gal named Kelsey Marie, which you might know.
Yep.
Might even been even kind of leading it one time the first time.
I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure she's come up to me a couple of times and kind of said, like, hey, started that, you know? So I always say, like, hey, it's cool with me. It's as long as it's, you know, as long as everyone isn't just silently looking at me, it's cool.
That's great, man. Dude, let's talk a little more Defy here. So, you know, we talked about what you did recently, but you've done a few other things for Defy here. I see that you were on the show on September 27th. What was this thing? It looked like a bunch of tag teams going at it. You and Vinny Massaro?
Possibly. I try to re-jog my memory here.
It looks like a bunch of teams in here, like Jordan Oasis and Judas Icarus defeat the Border Patrol and the Travis Williams. There's a bunch of question marks here. I'm looking on cagematch.net to get my information at some of these shows I haven't been to. So
It's coming back to me. Yeah, that was I don't even know how many people on each team. That was a big tag match again. Unfortunately, I don't even think I can remember everyone's name that was in it. So
no problem. No problem.
That was a big one. Oh, I'm trying to remember that one, man. There's been so many.
Well, let me kind of throw another one at you that maybe you'll jar your memory, man. Danica and Randy Myers defeated Travis Williams and Sloan.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Sloan is someone who trains with us at the ECCW. You know, we call it the Lionsgate Dojo, so that's kind of, you might see some shirts around, guys wearing those shirts, so shout out to the Lionsgate Dojo, but yeah, she trains with us, so it's cool just to be in there with her, and Randy is, of course, from Vancouver as well, and yeah, man, that was a fun one. You know, that was also something that was a little bit different than what I'm used to, you know, less of that go-go fast style and more of that, you know, storytelling and, you know, a little bit of comedy here and there, so I enjoyed it.
Oh, man. And it looks like the night after that, it was a doubleheader for you guys there at Defy at the Super 8XGP. You got to face the one and only Douglas James.
Yes, I did. Yeah, that match is definitely in my top five of, if not my entire, you know, wrestling career so far. That was awesome. It was a great experience, man.
Dude, tell us about that experience, though. Elaborate on that a little bit. Getting in there with the guy. We just saw him this last weekend, man, at Defy, doing an incredible match with Jake Atlas on, I think, night one, which was just freaking amazing. Almost tore the house down in the first match of the night. And then you got to wrestle this guy, man. So tell us about that, your feelings about it, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's a workhorse, dude. He's crazy. I mean, you could tell just by his freaking how toned he is, man. He's busting his ass constantly. You know, he's been all over. PCW is where he wrestles most frequently, I believe. So yeah, man, I'm sure him and Jake just tore it up completely because yeah, those guys are top tier talents. And to even, you know, to get that match, when I first found out I had that match, I was like, shit, man, here we go, you know, it's a big one. I was nervous, but I'm happy with the result. I'm happy with how it turned out. I definitely was probably the most tired I've ever been in a match. So.
Yeah, I bet that was just a working kind of match, top speed the whole time. And, dude, so when was your debate? Blah, can't speak now. Cut that out. When was your debut at Defy?
My Defy debut was the Defy to Survive match, which I believe was this year.
Yes, it was January 19th of 2019. I wrote that down. I thought that was your debut, but it doesn't have your name on the thing when I look it up here. So, dude, that was like a bunch of people. Was it like 10 people, 10-way kind of thing?
Yeah, that was that's another 5-on-5 where, you know, the last two people have to wrestle each other, so even if they're on the same team. So, yeah, that was a big one. I remember that one was a big match for me. January started off hot. Started off really hot. Being my first, I believe, the very first shows I did in January was I did two back-to-back shows for ECCW at the Commodore Ballroom, one of them being a tables, ladders, and chairs match. And then, so that was Friday, Saturday, and then that Sunday I had DJ Z, and that was a big one. And then the weekend after that I had Defy. So I remember just being like, holy crap, 2019's, you know, hot start. Because Defy was a goal of mine from the beginning. And, yeah, that was the same exact match that kicked Artie's career off in Defy. So,
well, dude, things are going really great for you this year, like you just said. And the promoters, the folks running all these shows must just really be believing in you, man. And good for you.
Well, fingers crossed, man.
Keep doing it, man. And let's get into, before I get to ECC Dub, a little whack, man. You like you said, this last weekend, just, you know, another great show there. And but you have done a lot at Without a Cause. You guys started there. You were part of Daddy's Money, right?
Yeah, that's where we started. Yeah, they've given me a lot of opportunities. A lot of really grateful for. Right when they started, I remember Chris Ross came up to me. And he mentioned it to me, and he told me about it, and I was like, I'm in, you know, I'm 100% in. So just to see it, how big it's gotten recently, and just like throughout, you know, it's only been around for about a year, I believe. So it's crazy to see its progress. But, yeah, man, they give me a lot of opportunities, and I'm forever grateful.
Yeah, they recently had their year one, you know, show, and just recently had that other great one that we were just talking about earlier. And they're doing great, great things there. And, you know, it was Daddy Money. Wasn't we originally you, Chris Ross, and Eli Surge?
Yep, that's right.
And at one point, didn't you team up with Cash for a tag team match there?
Yes, I did. That was me and Cash versus the Strays, I believe.
Uh-huh. So tell us about that one, teaming up with the one and only King Cash, going against those crazy rabies-infested, by the way, Strays.
Yeah, that was teaming up with Cash was awesome because, you know, that's someone with so much knowledge, you know, and someone who also is extremely hungry and ready, you know, to work their ass off, so... just to, you know, kind of talk with him and kind of get where his mindset's at, and, you know, whatever feedback he has for me was that was definitely a big step. And then of course, two people I'm very familiar with. I think this is when they just started, you know, getting the Strays thing off the ground a little bit. So yeah, it was cool to get in there and see what ideas they had, and it was fun because you know, I know them very well. I've been training with them for a long time, so to kind of get their one of their first Strays match, I think, you know, to do it. It was rad.
Well, tell us about it. Ego, you had a four-way, and you won this match, by the way. You got to take on Jet Knight, Spider, and Dirty Andy Dalton, man. And tell us about that four-way.
Yeah, I remember that one was another one I was, you know, sweating pretty hard in. Because we definitely went for it, and that was the first time I met Spider Warrior and Andy Dalton, so just to, you know, see where their minds are at too, because they also have, you know, so much feedback and so much knowledge, and Jet Knight, who also is a workhorse, like, that guy is ridiculous, just the amount of time he's, you know, he's been in it for, and the amount of success he's already had and his ability, it's insane.
I legit thought he'd hit the ceiling at the last show. I thought he was going to hit it. I'm glad he did not.
I saw a picture of that, man. I was like, holy crap.
When he did that, you know, flip out of the ring, like, that had so much height. The only other thing I've seen was Chris Bay and Hammerstone. Chris Bay almost got that light, too, one time, man. And insane. But anyway, man, so that match led to another match where you got to take on the one and only Dirty Andy Dalton. I don't think it went the way you want, but tell us about taking on Dirty Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I do remember taking the L on that one, which is unfortunate, but, you know.
He must have cheated. He probably cheated, right? Sorry. Go ahead.
Most definitely. because the match before, I believe in that four-way you mentioned, I stole the win from him. So, you know, he had some payback. And, wrestling him, man, it was awesome again, too. He's from Texas, so yeah, I'd love to get out there and do it again.
So some of these guys that are, you know, backstage that maybe you haven't seen before, do you, you know, without giving anything away, obviously, do some of these guys give you a lot of, like, here's what you got to do to get to the next level somewhere else? Like a guy like Andy Dalton or other people, do they kind of help you out a little bit?
Yeah, everyone's got feedback if you, you ask them. And everyone I've talked to has been more than supportive and more than open to share some feedback and what I can do, you know, next time or what I can do better. And I'm, you know, my ears are wide open, you know. I'm always ready to learn, always ready to take it to that next level, whatever it is I got to do. So, especially the shows I've been at, Without a Cause is definitely a place where the locker room is just full of people with knowledge and what you need to do with that for that next step, like you were saying. So it's been a pleasure.
Oh, man, that's awesome. And, you know, you were talking about a minute ago, but talk about wrestling the one and only Jet Knight. You guys on August, I think it was 18th, it's getting hot in here. You defeated the one and only Jet Knight. And, you know, some more thoughts on him, thoughts about wrestling him, and, you know, just let us know what you think about him and your match.
Of course. If I'm not wrong, I believe that one was either his first or one of his first singles matches. And that was, you come in, someone tells you it's like, oh, it's one of my first singles matches. You know, the expectations aren't that high, you know what I'm saying? But he blew him out of the water. He was ridiculous in there. I remember getting to the back and being like, "You're no way that was your first match, man, or one of your first singles," because it was ridiculous. He's so talented for how long he's been doing it. And I don't even know if he's been doing it for a year yet. I'm not sure on that. But he is freaking, yeah, he's another star, dude. So to be able to have that match with him was dope. And I had a lot of fun. He is someone that will, if not very soon, have a name everywhere.
Oh, man, he completely deserves it, just like a lot of you guys do, man. But some great feedback there on Without a Cause. But let's get to just, you know, before we go to the backstory a little bit, some ECC Dub, man. How long you been with working with ECC Dub?
As long as I started, so I believe my first tryout for them, because that's where I got started. I did a tryout, and that was almost exactly 3 years ago today. It was December 2nd or 3rd, I believe. So yeah, man, it's been like 3 years to the day almost since I had my first tryout with them, and I've been with them all along this whole time.
Dude, man, and so recently, you took on Artie Spencer, and you guys wrestled for the ECC Dub Canadian Heavyweight Championship. Am I correct in that?
Yep.
And someone came out on top in that, and I think it was you. And tell us about that before we talk about any other ECC Dub memories you have. You got to beat Artie Spencer for a championship. Dude, thoughts?
That was insane. That was just, you know, it felt like a couple years of, you know, busting my ass paid off. The victory, might I add, was not clean, but you know, I'll take what I can get. yeah, it was awesome, man. Just to be able to, you know, even beat R.D. Spence or wrestle R.D. Spence, and then, you know, to win my first singles championship from him was it was incredible.
And how did it feel beating a guy like that? You hold that strap up in front of the crowd, whether it was, you know, clean or not, man. How did that? Did you get the goosebumps? The hair sticking up on your skin?
Yeah, I was excited. I remember, you know, I'm always thinking about how was the match before anything else. You know, was it good? What did it please people? That's the first thing on my mind. But yeah, it was cool to, you know, to get home and just open my bag up and see that title there. And like I said, he was the guy who trained me. So to do that, to have that match with the guy that literally trained me since day one, was like, you know, felt like full circle. It was it's awesome, and I hope to keep mixing it up with him.
Oh man, so you're still holding that title today? I think you've had a title defense since then, have you not?
Yes, I have. I've had a few. I've had one against Sid Sylum. I've had one against Sharif Morrow, and I've had one against Randy Myers.
And still, ECC Dub Canadian Heavyweight Champion.
Yes, sir. And I got another title defense this Saturday against Jackie Lee for ECCW.
Oh man, yeah. I'm kind of looking over some of your matches here, you know, through ECC Dub. It's like crazy. You've done a lot of stuff. It was a four-way with Beef Boy, Judas Icarus, David Starr. Dude,
yeah, that was
tell us about that.
That was a big one. That was, yeah, just that was another favorite match of mine. That was, I remember being extremely nervous, because, you know, that's a big opportunity they gave us. And, yeah, ECCW, man, I've been there for freaking ever. That's literally where my career started. Still with them, still holding the belt. And, that match, I like to think kind of, you know, set the tone on me and Elliot Tyler and Judas Icarus's careers, because, we put it all out there on the line that night. And, to be in there with someone like David Starr, who, I mean, you know, needs no introduction, that was a crazy moment, and it's definitely still one of my favorite matches.
Dude, there's that. Travis Williams defeats Andy Bird. Let me look down the list here. Travis Williams defeats Andy Bird again. Travis Williams defeats Sonico. Dude, things... Travis Williams defeats Fergie. You're beating a lot of people up there in ECC Dub, my friend.
Yeah, things have been good, man. I mean, you know, don't look at the old ones, all the losses. Don't just ignore those. So
we ignore that kind of stuff here on this program.
Perfect.
We only look at the positive of what's going on for each and every individual.
Wonderful, man.
Cool. So hey, man, let's just jump back a little bit, man. Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up where I'm currently living, which is just outside of Vancouver, in BC, Canada.
So you are, and still are, where you were born and raised.
Yep, still hanging around.
Still hanging around. That's good, though, man. And when you were young, just a little Travis Williams, man, were you into sports and athletics, or were you into cartoons and video games, or what's going on?
I'd say a mix of both. I mean, I played football for 9 years, 9 or 10 years. I played rugby for 2. I played basketball for when I was in elementary school. I played soccer for like 10 years. Like, sports have always been a giant part of my life. My dad was actually in the CFL for a little bit.
Oh, damn.
So yeah, man, sports have always been there. But also, you know, I like to kick back when I'm not, you know, on the field, when I wasn't on the field or whatever. And I played a bunch of video games as well. So, you know, got my hands on both.
Well, you're a young fella. That's good for you, man. Video games and you're athletic, keeping yourself in. What kind of position did you play in football?
I was wide receiver and also corner.
And did you get to any college athletics?
No, I didn't have the opportunity to do that because right after high school ended, it was on to wrestling.
Oh, so you just went straight to wrestling after the high school thing. So in high school, you did the football. Did you wrestle in high school?
Yeah, I did. I did 3 years of wrestling and I broke my arm doing one of these tournaments. It was like this big tournament, and then we're rolling around before on the mats, and then something happened, and boom, broke my arm before the tournament even started. And I remember that was just like so heartbreaking because I was like, you know, preparing for this. I think that was my second year of wrestling, and then yeah, it was. So I did wrestling for a little bit, and then I ended up switching over to rugby the last 2 years of my high school. And yeah, it was cool to, you know, to kind of dabble in a bunch of sports, but professional wrestling was the goal. Professional wrestling has always been the goal.
You broke your arm in regular football, American style football.
In wrestling.
Oh, in wrestling. Sorry. And then you went on to play rugby after that?
Of course.
Dude, tell us about rugby. How hard was that? Was that an ass-kicking sport or what?
Yeah, I enjoyed rugby a lot, man. I really, really enjoyed rugby. Like, just the sportsmanship of it. You know, everyone's a team. Like, you know, you're out there, you're busting your ass on the field. You know, you're freaking, you're taking everyone out. And it's a grind. And then after, you know, both teams are like, you guys are homies, you know, like, that's what I really liked about it, you know, it just leave it on the field, and, yeah, I had a lot of fun playing rugby.
Man, what was the hardest part about playing rugby?
Honestly, I don't know, man, mostly just good, right, positive memories. I was used to, you know, the amount of cardio there was, because had all that since I started playing football, so, I mean, that wasn't really an issue with it. Yeah, man, mostly just positive memories with the team and on the field and off the field. So,
all right. Well, you're a little kid or whatever age you were. When did pro wrestling first kind of come into your brain? You saw it with your eyes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I saw it the first time I saw it. I was about 10 years old, and a friend of mine showed me wrestling, and that's probably what everyone says, but eventually, boom, I was hooked on it. I remember Jeff Hardy was my love as a kid. Freaking, I had the armbands, and I was addicted to Jeff Hardy as a kid.
So just Jeff Hardy, not the Hardy Boys, just him in particular? What kind of, were you watching, was it Raw, was it TNA?
No, it was Raw and SmackDown. I think this was when Hardy was on his singles run. I think I missed the whole Hardy Bros thing, which is crazy. But yeah, it was just when I think Hardy won the main championship, so I followed along with that. And then I remember him getting fired, and I was a little kid sitting in my parents' room, and I remember just crying my eyes out, man. Well, because, you know, I didn't know.
Well, answer this. Parents, wrestling. How did your parents feel about wrestling? Were they watching it? Is that how you got into it, or was it something you found yourself?
It was definitely something I found through a friend group. They never really, I don't think, had a good understanding of what wrestling was, but they have been extremely supportive. I think it's something they saw me like as a kid, and then were like, oh, you know, it's a phase, he'll grow out of it, you know, just like a lot of things. Like, oh, yeah, you know, he likes wrestling for now, and then, you know, eventually it'll be this and or that. And then, it just stuck, and they've always known it's like been a passion of mine, a love of mine. So they've been extremely supportive, man, like, I can't thank him enough.
Mm. So growing up, you said Hardy. What were some other your favorites that really stood out?
So after Hardy left, I think there was a time frame where I was like, I'm done with this wrestling stuff, you know? I'm growing up, I'm moving on. I took the posters off my wall. I was like, this is, you know, I'm a grown kid now, I'm 14 or whatever. I'm moving on from wrestling, and then it was CM Punk's pipe bomb
the pipe
that bomb. Brought me back to wrestling.
Was it just the pipe bomb itself? Pipe bomb itself, or was you were a big fan of CM Punk?
It was the pipe bomb that, you know, attracted me to that, and then I did as much research and as much watching his matches and like his career, and that is what I'd say. It's the pipe bomb that drew me, and then after that, it was nonstop CM Punk, man. That's where I found Ring of Honor and stuff. That's where I found like the independent scene. And so CM Punk was a gigantic part of where I, you know, found what I like in wrestling and expanded my, you know, my wrestling knowledge.
Well, just real quick, it's not in my notes, but what do you think about CM Punk recently coming back to the Fox Sports Network and getting to, you know, comment on WWE wrestling?
Yeah, of course. I'm such a fan of his. Actually, I'm staring at an autograph I have on my wall still in my room. So yeah, no, I mean it's cool, man. It's cool to, you know, there was that time where he left, and I followed him when he was doing the UFC stuff, and that was, you know, heartbreaking to say the least. And then just, you know, it's cool. I mean, I have a different perspective of professional wrestling now that I'm, you know, it's my career and it's what I'm pursuing and I'm in it. But you know, the fanboy, the little kid in me is still pretty excited to see him back.
Oh, that's great, man. And do you remember, was it mostly just watching stuff on TV with your friends, or did you get to ever go into any live events when you're a younger fella?
Yeah, I was lucky enough. My dad took me to a couple live events. We went to some in Vancouver at the P&E Pacific Coliseum. We got to see, and then I think it was just a live event, and I got to see CM Punk in person. And I remember I was freaking out. And I think there was a live event before that where I wasn't. I think I was still not a Punk fan. I was more on the Hardy train, and I remember having the Nexus armband, if you remember those.
Oh yeah,
remember having that on my arm, and so I got to see CM Punk. I remember reaching over the guardrail trying to touch him, you know, because that was my childhood hero. So yeah, I went to a few live events, and I believe it was the Raw that Daniel Bryan retired at.
Oh, in Seattle.
In Seattle, yeah.
Yep. Oh, man. Anyway, let's... So, you know, you're a fan as a kid. When did you decide, I got to do this? This is my thing. I have to be a professional wrestler. When did it happen, and how did you make it happen?
I think it was probably around when I was, like, 16, grade 11, around there, when I was, like... They're like, what do you want to do? You know, that's when they start, they talk into you. They have those meetings where they're like, all right, figure out your life, pretty much. Figure out college, figure out, like, what do you want to do? You want to go to school? You want to play, like, sports? What's the goal? And then I remember telling my parents, and I think they always kind of knew, but just being like, yeah, I want to do pro wrestling. So they're like, okay, if you want to do it that much, let's make it happen. And I remember sitting down in just like the school office with one of the people who was like, okay, what do you want to do? What do you want to do for your career? And me being like, pro wrestling. And then her being like, what is that? And then I remember we researched ECCW because I did some research on my own. And then, it was just funny sitting in a school office, you know, looking at people like Scotty Mac and Nicole Matthews on the screen because we're looking up ECCW. And then I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. And then her being like, okay, if you want to. And, so I just pursued it, and I got in touch with Scotty Mac when I was 17, and he told me I had to wait till I was 18. So I waited till November, so my birthday, and before that, I was going to shows and helping out. I went to, it was the Singh brothers who were in WWE. Mm-hmm. It was their last show at ECCW. I was sitting in the crowd for that. And I was also at a show that was Scotty Mac versus El Fantasmo before he left for his big trip to the UK, his big adventure over there. So yeah, and then I was helping out around shows, man, and I was just like, you know, introducing myself. I remember meeting the Vorwells twins for the first time, which was an experience. And just, you know, shaking hands and whatnot. And then I had my very first tryout in December. So it was about a month after I turned 18. And I had a tryout alongside guys like Sharif Morrow, Jackie Lee, and Eric Strange.
Oh, man. So a lot of crazy shit going on here. You got your tryout. You're helping out, making your name behind the scenes. And then you turn 18, and, dude, take us from 18 on.
Okay, yeah, I'll try. So, yeah, boom, turn 18, do the tryout. I'm at the tryout. Made it, all that. And then it was just training and, you know, learning the basics, learning everything from wrestling. And I had, it was Artemis Spencer, Nicole Matthews, and Tony Baroni, who were the head trainers at the time. Scotty Mack ran some classes too, so I got to learn from him. But yeah, and this is when Artemis Spencer was still injured. So believe it or not, I never saw him wrestle when he was training us. So I wasn't quite sure who he was, and he was training us. And then through that, obviously, I realized how, you know, insanely talented he is, along with, you know, Nicole and Tony. But yeah, I never got to see a match of Artie. And then I remember the very first match he had back was against Ethan HD in Vancouver at ECCW, and just being like, holy shit. You know, I see him at training and stuff. I know what he's like, and I got to learn from him. But just seeing him have a match and, you know, see him being him, it was like, whoa, you know, it was definitely a memory that sticks around. So, yeah, and then from then on, I just training and, you know, trying to spread my name around. Yeah.
Dude, man, you sounds like you've been alongside of a lot of great people that really have helped you. Tell us about some of your other mentors or your friends that really have helped you along the way.
Sure. So Sharif and Jackie Lee and Eric Strange, those are the guys I started with. So obviously they've been with me for freaking since day one, literally since day one. And they've, you know, we've shared so many like moments. We had our first match together, actually. It was me and Eric versus Sharif and Jackie, who are a tag team now. And that was my very first match. And then I remember we took that match to Kelowna. Someone by the name of Marty Sugar booked us to wrestle in Kelowna. And then that was like, okay, well, let's go to Kelowna, I guess. Boom, we drive to Kelowna. We do that show, you know. And then we had the same match there. And then, yeah, those guys were the, like, people I kind of started with. Like, I grew my wrestling career with. And then along the way, I met people like Elliot Tyler and Judas Icarus and Eli Surge. And Elliot Tyler was wrestling for a different company at the time, so I didn't see him often. And then eventually he started training with us, and we became really, really close friends. And it just so happened he lives down the street from me too, which is crazy. So then, yeah, we became really close friends. Same as Liza Hall, we became friends, and Judas Icarus and Eli Surge came from the island. So then I got to know them a bit more. They moved to Vancouver, so I got to know them a bit more. We all became a pretty big, a pretty good group of friends. So knowing them, and, you know, we were always pushing each other. We're always joking about wrestling. We're always talking about wrestling. So they've been a giant help, and just the trainers too, like Billy Suede, who I team with. He's me and Tony Baroni, and Billy Suede are the wise men, and they were the wise men. Got a lot to talk about. You can tell me when to stop.
No, keep going, my friend.
cool. They were the Wise Men. They were a tag team, the Wise Men, and I remember I watched them wrestle, but I wasn't actively wrestling at that point. And then Billy Suede went to the Philippines to help train guys down there, and he got the scene, you know, down there. And while he was gone, I joined the Wise Men with Tony Baroni, and he has done so much for me, man. Like, I can't even explain. He's helped me so much. He like literally welcomed me in to his team with Suede, you know, with open arms, and he's taught me so much. The style that I do now, the heel style, the bad guy type thing, is a lot strongly taken from the Wise Men, from him. He's taught me so much about, you know, doing that, about being like that style. He's helped me so much. And then when Suede eventually came back from the Philippines, I got to learn from him. So then he had more to teach and he had more to, you know, share. And then I was like, holy shit, this guy is, you know, he's also amazing. So just to be around people like that, it helped so greatly. And then eventually, you know, the three of us were, boom, we were the Wise Men, we're a team. So yeah, and he frequently trains people now, and he's got so much knowledge too. Him, Tony Baroni, you know, those guys are one of a kind.
Dude, great, great stuff to share there. What is your one person, one opponent that you'd like to get in the ring? It doesn't matter. Local, WWE, AEW. What's the one thing that's in your mind? Man, I'd love to wrestle that one guy, one person, one woman.
So this person might surprise you a little bit because I don't know how familiar you are with them, but Adam Brooks from Australia, from MCW, is somebody that I would love to wrestle in 2020 or whenever it can happen, man.
I'm not familiar with that person, but I will look it up just because you said that. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course, dude.
Dude, where do you want to see yourself in a couple years?
I want to get my name. I want to get my name out there. I want to go wherever I can. I want to wrestle wherever I can. I want to wrestle as much as I can. There's no set destination. I don't have a set goal. I want to make it this company. I want to wrestle for as many places that want to see me wrestle. I want to wrestle all over the world. I want to wrestle in the UK. I want to wrestle in Japan. I want to wrestle in Australia. I just want to wrestle as much as I can, as frequently as I can, you know. So I love doing this. So the more I can do it, the better.
Dude, sounds like a great way to jump on life and your career. So, dude, let me ask you this. Do you got any merch going on?
So I have a few t-shirts, but nothing crazy.
Where do we get these t-shirts? You got to get them at the show. Is there an online service?
Yeah, so unfortunately there's no online yet. That's something I should definitely look into as far as the new year coming up and wherever that'll take me. But yeah, so if you see me at a local show, especially in Canada, I will have a t-shirt on me.
Oh, man.
As far as the States, I'm working on it. I'll have some t-shirts soon. I'll have some t-shirts in the new year. So, yeah, but if you see me at a show in Canada especially, come say hi, and there's a good chance I'll have some shirts.
Yeah, be careful crossing that border. You never know what's going to happen these days with the politicians. But anyway, anyway, let's just throw that back over there. Anyway, dude, what are your final thoughts before we kind of head off into the sunset tonight?
On what? Sorry.
On your career, anything you want to talk about, which within regards to you?
I just hope, you know, I hope people are enjoying what I'm doing out there. I'm working hard as I can, so I hope people are starting to notice, hope people enjoy it. I mean, if you enjoy it, let me know, you know. It's always nice to hear about it, or boo me. That works too, because, you know, that's the goal. So, I mean, just support me on, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Twitter. You know, I'm putting some stuff up on my YouTube I'm working on right now, so just get some more matches and content out there. But yeah, I mean, if you're follow along.
Travis, how do we follow along, man? What's your Twitter, what's your Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of stuff, if you got it?
So Twitter and Instagram are at Pro T Williams, and then the name will probably just be Golden Boy.
Perfect, my friend, and thank you so much for coming on here tonight. We just spent an hour just BSing and having a great time, and I appreciate you, your heel work, what you do, and I can't wait to see what's coming up for the one and only Golden Boy, Travis Williams.
Thank you, man. It's a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Have a good night. This episode recorded at the Bigfoot headquarters. This has been a Swagamore production.